Hello. The seatbelt check is around the corner.
You actually were telling the truth.
I do that quite a lot. Your people are always surprised.
Welcome aboard. Ladies and gentlemen, there may be some turbulence up ahead. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened.
To those guests who've just joined us, welcome.
Welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Randy.
And I am Dak.
And this is Ryan.
And this week, we bring to you our top eight things, attractions, likes,
things,
stuff,
all of it.
The World Showcase.
So this is our series, right? So we've done a few of these before, eight things we love the most about. The idea here is that we're going to talk about the eight things we love the most about some of these lands, which can include attractions, shows, dining, all sorts of things, just what we love the most about this particular part of the park. And so this week I thought about World Showcase and all the wonderful things that we love about the World Showcase and why it's one of our favorite places to visit in the parks. So without further ado, let's kick things off. Either one of you guys want to go first on your top eight?
Yeah, I'd like to start. I'd like to start this one. And this is low-hanging fruit. I got to get there. Low-hanging fruit. But I absolutely love the pyramid in the Mexico Pavilion.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I thought you were going to go.
Look, you're walking into the World Showcase from that side, right? You can enter in either side. Okay.
What you're saying is there any other side to enter into?
You go left.
Yeah.
I go left if I'm facing the World Showcase. Yes. Yeah. So I don't know if that's east or west or north or south, but I go left, right? I take the left path. I'm not going first to Canada. I'm going first to Mexico. Creature of habit. And the first thing you see there is you see this huge pyramid, right? And I mean, it could be bigger, but it's big enough. It's got one of my favorite attractions in the park there, the Three Caballeros. There's a great restaurant inside, La Hacienda San Jandero.
Great restaurant.
I mean, great restaurant. And it is kind of part of the Three Caballeros boat ride. There's a little bit of like shopping that's very emblematic of going to like a Mexico market sort of a thing. I just love it. I think it's great. What's really interesting to me about the area is as you walk in, you're coming from what is one of the most crowded spots in all of the World Showcase, right? Like, especially the later it gets and everyone's out there getting their margaritas, that spot in front of the pyramid is so crowded. You go inside and you're like, oh, wow, like there's a lot of space. It's not so crowded inside. So you get a little bit of a refuge from the whole thing. Inside, all of a sudden, it becomes nighttime. So you know, thematically, and you're like, oh, I don't feel like I'm in a pyramid. You're on the outside. It looks like a Mesoamerican pyramid. But you get inside, and you're like, oh, now I'm outside. I'm outdoors. I just think it's really cool. It's something that's very unique in terms of transitions from one place to another in all of the Disney parks. Looks great outside. Looks great inside. Gives you a good experience. There's things to do. My top favorite to love start.
And
start
is there a more recognizable smell than when you walk into that pavilion? There's just a smell that just, it's like, it's the Mexican food plus the Florida humidity plus the air conditioning, whatever they have pumped in,
plus the water on the boat ride.
There's a unique smell.
And it's not like a repugnant smell.
No,
right?
No,
like
not
it's
at
a,
all.
You know, I'm not going to say it's like the greatest smell in the world. It's, you know, not like, you know, sniffing a hibiscus or something, but it's, you know, yeah, it's recognizable.
Right on. Okay. Ryan, you got yours?
Oh, I've got mine. And I'm glad you didn't take this one, Randy. So one of my favorite things about the World Showcase is over in France. Les Halles.
Oh, les boulangerie.
I just, for a lot of reasons, I just love this place. The fact that it's one of the, in my opinion, one of the best quick snack restaurants in all of Walt Disney World. I love the baguette. For under $4, you can actually have a meal. It's just, I mean, the croquette monsieur, the toasted ham and cheese sandwich. I love the fact that there are French people who work there. Maybe not during COVID, but for the most part, we have the French people working there. Wait. I love. Anyway,
busted.
I love this place. I love the fact that you know, the seating could be better. Probably not one of the cleaner restrooms on property. I don't know why that is, but
very small.
Very small.
That's probably why.
Yeah, but for the most part, like Epcot, if I don't get a snack from Le Hall, I typically leave a little disappointed, because it's just, I just love everything about this place.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. I think, and I would just lump it all together, the whole France Pavilion, absolutely one of my favorite stops in the World Showcase. You know, and now that they've added Ratatouille and the crepe restaurant, God, I can't remember it right off the top of my head, but
the creperie.
Yeah, it just, to me, it just completes the whole France French atmosphere. You get to watch Impressions de France, and
not all day anymore,
but like it's still
twice a day
available,
yeah, in the morning.
Yeah. I just love it. I couldn't agree with you more, Ryan. This is probably my number one, is the France Pavilion in general. The only thing I may change is that restaurant out front. I've never been, and so I probably can't knock it too hard, but
looks pretentious.
It looks, yeah, it's I mean, even during like the Flower and Garden, when they get the Beast and Belle
topiary.
I can never say that word. I don't have the big 25-cent words that you got.
Topiary.
But it's just, man, it's just a great, great pavilion. So I love it. I'm 100% with you on that, Ryan. So one of mine then, kind of on the back of that, my number two is Norway. I love the Norway Pavilion. Again, it's one of those pavilions. It has an attraction with the Frozen Ever After ride. Great ride. Love the queue. Love the ride. Everything about it. Love the shop. They have this little Norway shop where you can go in. You get the big wooden troll that's there. There's a perfume cologne shop.
That's an amazing... It smells so amazing in
there. Yeah. So amazing in there. And then the restaurant is also great. It's a great...
Akershus
is a great... I would call it a great poor man's Cinderella castle.
Yeah, character meal.
Yeah, it's a character meal. You get to meet all the same princesses. So I love everything about Norway. I even love going in and seeing the little Thor and Odin.
I was about to say, you talk about the museum.
Stave Church Gallery.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And I love how authentic everything is about Norway, with the grass roofs. And then I love the bakery. Mm-hmm. I love the school bread and some of the other treats you can get in the bakery. Norway's a great, great stop along the World Showcase.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Not too far from Norway is my next one. It is the Karmelkuche.
Karmelkuche.
The Karmelkuche. The Carmel Kitchen in the Germany Pavilion.
Yes.
You want to talk about smells. Yeah. You'll get it inside for sure. You'll definitely get it outside as well. But, you know, they have all sorts of different things from a caramel perspective. You know, they've got a pastry display there with cookies and candies and all sorts of stuff. They make the caramel popcorn. It's all with Werther's caramel. It's just delicious. My probably favorite dessert anywhere throughout all of the Disney parks is in there, and it's the caramel apple oatmeal cookie, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, and it's an oatmeal cookie with, there's some walnut in there, there's chunks of apple in there, and then it's drizzled with fresh caramel on top, and it's just, it's so good. I could really go for one right now, y'all.
Yeah, I think that's one of those locations where if you're walking by, that smell is going to pull you in.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
usually
not overwhelming,
usually
but very
door.
Enticing.
Yeah.
Very
that's
enticing.
Right. A couple bonuses about the Karmelkuche that you should know about. One, you can mobile order there.
Oh.
Be aware, it takes sometimes a little bit longer to get it fulfilled. So you may look at the line out the door and be like, oh, I don't want to wait for that. I'll just mobile order. You're probably going to wait about the same amount of time, sometimes longer. But just be aware that's an option. Number two is, though, annual pass DVC discounts are available there. Not available at a lot of the kind of freestanding shops and stuff that you would see. Usually you'll find those discounts available at like a sit-down restaurant or so forth, but you could get one there at the Carmel Cookie as well. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess for my next one, I'll mention this because it popped up on, you know how Facebook does, you know, shows you your memories from like 10 years ago. This popped up on my feed, and it was a video that I took. We were sitting in the American, that American theater. I forget the name of the theater, but it's right across from the American Pavilions, that theater, right, where they have the Candlelight Procession every year. They do a concert series during the Food and Wine Festival every year. Several bands come in. This one year, it was an 80s band. They were, and I can't remember the song they were covering, but the guy playing the guitar came out to the audience and had, you know, Morgan, my youngest Riley, my second youngest Morgan, they were strumming the guitar. And I think we've done that a few times. I think if you've never sat down and watched a concert there, they're actually pretty fun. They last maybe an hour. You don't stay the whole time, but I think that's a really cool thing that Epcot does, is they bring in these musical acts, whether it be Broadway performers or cover bands or whatnot, or actually real bands.
No, like they'll bring in some legit names.
Yeah, I mean,
I remember one year walking through and I'm like, the Jonas Brothers, like, well, yeah. Wait a sec, what?
I'm looking at the calendar right now. So they got Sugar Ray coming this year. They've got Hoobastank. They've got Tiffany from, they've got Sheila E. So anyway, just, and it's all part of your admission. So if you're in the park that day, you get, these concerts are free. You have to wait in line to get in. But for the most part, it's just kind of a fun experience. And I would say if you've never done it, look on the calendar, find a band that you like and go check them out.
Yeah.
Fun experience.
Right on. All right. So this would be number six, correct?
Yeah.
So for me, number six, thing that we love the most about the World Showcase is the festivals. I mean, I know the festivals are held in all of Epcot, but primarily you're going to see most of the action around World Showcase. So the festivals we got are the Food and Wine. Ryan, you just mentioned that. Festival of the Arts. And what am I missing?
Flower and Garden.
Flower and Garden. Thank you. And that's actually one of my favorites. So I don't know,
I thought, to say, I was like, really? You forgot?
But I just,
topiary?
I love it. Yeah, the topiaries. Man, I love when Epcot is putting on, and specifically when the World Showcase is putting on a festival. They bring in food carts, you know, during the art festival. There's all kinds of art displays up and so forth. And just everything, right? Everything from, you know, visual stimulating things to learning sessions where you can go in and meet an artist or learn how to grow certain plants or flowers or from an educational standpoint. And of course, all the different, you know, food carts and just different stops along the way just make that exciting. And I guess as a drawback, the only drawback I feel is that these festivals just get longer and longer and longer to where it's like, oh, you know, the Festival of the Arts is ending and next week we're going to open up Food and Wine. And so that's the only thing I would maybe pull the reins back on a little bit, is make them a little bit more exclusive and not run for so long. But
yeah,
and
I
do love when the festivals are going on. And, oh, there's a Christmas festival. How did I miss that one? Like, there's all kinds of different.
Is that a new one?
I think so. Maybe I'm not thinking that right.
That's where I kind of say, you know, I'm with you on that one. I have a little bit of an eye roll on that. Like, there does need to be a break in between some of these sorts of things, but I guess I get it. So
I think it's called the Festival of the Holidays.
If I'm not that's mistaken. What a holiday is a festival. So that sounds
Epcot International Festival of the Holidays.
Boom. There you go. One more reason to
whatever
to throw a festival. But anyways, long story short, I love when it's festival going on.
I think it's funny that that's the festival they came up with during their busiest time of the year.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, oh yeah, yeah, we're having a party about having a holiday, because that's what you're here for.
Yeah. All right, Randy, I think you're up.
Is it me now? So I will say this one's a little bit hard. I don't know if it's super hard to articulate, but I've tried to winnow it down a little bit. You know, one of my favorite things actually about the World Showcase is as you explore the different pavilions, the kind of taste or flavor you can get for each of those countries as you go through there. I mean, you guys talked a little bit about the France Pavilion, but There's a few in particular that I just really like walking through. And you can find actually little peaceful parts and moments there. Yeah. It's really interesting. One of my favorites, though, is the United Kingdom Pavilion. You know, it actually walks around a little bit. There's kind of a little gardenish area in the back. It's not a huge pavilion in terms of space and stuff like that. There's really nothing to do other than one restaurant and two and a half little shops there. But, you know, when I was a teenager,
meet Winnie the Pooh there.
Yeah. And there's a stage back there where sometimes they'll have live performers doing stuff, bands and everything like that, which takes away from the piece that I was talking about. but that's a different thing. When I was young, I had the opportunity to tour the England countryside, England and Scotland, for an entire month as part of an orchestra. And it was really awesome because we went throughout the whole country and we saw all sorts of places. We played big towns, we played small towns, you know, we played really old churches, we played concert halls. Like, it was interesting. And every time I go into the United Kingdom Pavilion, it takes me back to that time touring the English countryside. It has that little flair of it. You know, you've got the red phone booth. You can go and take your little picture and stuff like that. You know, the mailboxes and things. I just think it's a really charming addition. I'd love that there to be more there. I think that what England is now is what France kind of used to be before they added like Ratatouille and other things. I think there's so much potential. They talked about that, adding Mary Poppins at one point, which, okay, I mean, there's so much Disney IP that takes place in England. I'm not sure that's where I probably would have gone for a ride attraction, but anything would be better than nothing. Having said that, I think you could apply this to the Japan Pavilion. Beautiful pavilion, garden areas, kind of peaceful, super neat, is another good example of that. And I like it. I intentionally went here. I didn't talk about another food thing because I felt like we talk about food a whole lot in some of our favorite food places. But if I had a bonus, actually, it would be the little gelateria right outside the Italy Pavilion, which is delicious. But I'm going to go with the United Kingdom.
Well, I think you brought up a good point, too, just to maybe, and I don't know if this is exactly where you're going, but just the authentic feel you get as you go into each pavilion. They really did. And if you get into like World Showcase history, it used to be in collaboration with each of these countries. And Disney has kind of gotten away from that connection. But you can definitely see where they consulted with each of these countries and tried to make it as authentic as possible. So,
you know, and in the shops you have, you know, goods from those countries,
yes,
right? You know, if you go into the Italian pavilion, you get like merchandise from Ferrari, you get, you go perfumes and stuff like that in France and Italy.
Even like the Mickey Mouse, it's not Mickey Mouse.
That's
is it
Topolino?
Topolino, Topolino. So, yeah, I love it.
You know, in the England pavilion, you've got a tea shop, right? Like, and you can buy teas and stuff. In Norway, you can get, you know, Nordic candies and other things and stuff. That's why you've got the caramel Kuchen in Germany, right, with its Werther's, you know. So I think it's really kind of neat how they do that. Another beautiful pavilion, you know, I talked about Japan, United Kingdom, France, right, walking through the waterfall and then seeing kind of the castle
Canada. You said France, but
yeah, no,
I
Canada
knew
is what
going.
I meant
yeah.
because kind of a little bit of what they have there is inspired by French Canada, right, going through Quebec, and you kind of have the old castles and you've got the waterfalls, and you know, that you could kind of, you know, Niagara Falls, sort of get that vibe. I just think it's really cool how they incorporate that in there. You know, the China Pavilion is really unique and interesting. I led off with Mexico. So,
speaking of China, sorry, just a quick insert. Did you guys ever go there when they had the, it was like 1,000 statues of the
Terracotta Warriors?
Yes. Yeah. Man, that was awesome. Sorry. When you said China, but that was like,
that's the point. Yeah,
that's the whole point, is that like they brought in,
you're experiencing
authentic,
the countries, right? Yes, and it's not like a they're not just playing lip service to it. Other than Morocco, you're really experiencing the countries, right?
Yes. Yeah.
See our other episodes for discussions about Morocco.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. All right, Ryan, you gotta round us out.
I'll round us out. Actually, I'll just add on to Randy here. I think for me, one of the most charming things about the World Showcase happens at dusk, when the lights come on around the lagoon there. If you can be there on a night when it's not hot, there's not a lot of people there, I think just walking around the World Showcase in that environment with the ambient lighting, with the music, it's just one of those magical moments that you don't get in a lot of places at Disney. Probably akin to maybe Magic Kingdom when the lights come on around the hub, around the castle. There's just people kind of doing some people watching, walking around, taking in the sights and the sounds. You can 100% do that at the World Showcase. You can weave in and out of the shops, but I think for the most part, just kind of walking around, taking in the sights, the sounds, the on a cooler night, I think it's just one of those amazing places to be.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all I got. Oh, you know what? Speaking of IP in England, they should do a Bedknobs and Broomsticks attraction. A roller coaster. You're on the bed.
Yeah, look, I think I'd be.
And
more
then you turn the knob to
you
go.
You turn the knob on the bedpost. I'd probably be more on board with that than a Mary Poppins. But at the same time, nobody knows what that IP is anymore. It's so old. I mean,
Angela Lansbury
kind of dates us a little bit, right? But yeah,
came out a long time ago.
So hey, so usually we do a magical scenario where we dream up, right? We take on the Imagineering hat. And so as I was thinking about what we love the most about Epcot and World Showcase, it made me think about one of Tony Baxter's, one of our favorite Imagineers, his brainchild, which was going to be out where DCA is, Disney California Adventure is today. It was going to be called Westcott. And it was literally going to be another version of Epcot out in California. And where the World Showcase was, they weren't going to do individual countries. They were going to do areas. So they were going to do the Americas. And it was all about both North and South America, Europe, Asia, and Africa. But what I thought was cool as part of this idea is Tony Baxter wanted it to be this like totally immersive experience where you could, there would be hotels on site. So each country or area, not
continent.
Country, continent would have different hotels where you would be totally immersed in this story. Like if you were in Europe, there would be like a little cafe and you could go down and get, you know, a cup of coffee or one of those things and just be totally immersed in the story. And so my magical scenario for you guys is if you could take one of the World Showcase countries and create a themed hotel out of it, which country would you pick and why? Why would you put that hotel and how would you build that resort around that country? Thoughts?
Well, that's really tricky. Oh, I think that's really tricky. Having stayed at various hotels across the world...
They're not like American hotels.
And the experiences that I've had there, I'm trying to think, how do you do that on a resort style type scale sort of thing? I mean, look, my immediate thought was I kind of went to the United Kingdom. I've stayed in traditional hotels there. I've stayed in kind of the more bed and breakfast sort of ones. I've stayed in name brand hotels that were kind of a mix of both, right? Mm-hmm. So interestingly, I remember actually one time I stayed in a really, really wonderful Best Western in London. But it was unlike any that I ever had been in before. In our room, you know, it was almost like a suite. There was like a full sitting room and you know, living room area sort of thing with a couch and TV, and that was separate from the bedroom. And you went downstairs to breakfast, and it was like, you know, if you remember the English comedy Fawlty Towers, right? Mm-hmm. It felt a lot like that.
Yeah.
Which is how I think a lot of those English hotels that I've been to are kind of like. You see that, I think, a lot more through Europe in general. But that's probably what I would do. I you know, it just felt a little more personalized, a little more homey, you know, concierge-type level service rather than being kind of in a big-box hotel.
Sure, yeah. Brian, you have any thoughts? Any country you would want a hotel to be attached to in the World Showcase?
Any country I would want a hotel to be attached to.
That would be totally themed out as that, so like, like what Randy's saying, it would be totally themed out as a United Kingdom hotel type of area and resort area. Because this is how, sorry, this is what Disney Tokyo Seas is all about, right? Like you walk around, it's kind of like a boardwalk, so like the boardwalk resort, but each area has its own themed hotels that are all like the Italian Coast Hotel and different theming.
I just, it's so hard to picture these at scale, I guess is the thing, because when you, frankly, when you get outside of America, it's a little bit different. Some of the Asian hotels I've been in, you know, I guess you could get similar kind of results. Look, I mean, and there's Four Seasons all across the globe, right? And that's not what we're really talking about.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the charm of these individual countries. And so it's hard to picture that at scale. Or like a theme park.
Yeah.
No, I think based on that commentary.
Did your voice just crack?
Say what? I think probably France.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a certain level of charm with France, with the French culture, architecture, that I really find appealing that I mentioned France a lot in today's episode. So.
Big fan.
Yeah, big fan of France. Never been. Hopefully one day.
And so I think just to finish out our conversation, I would choose Japan. I think that would be cool to have, you know, the sliding doors.
You're
and
too
the,
tall.
I know, I'm way too tall for but I would have it more like old Japan themed, which they, I mean, if you're in the World Showcase, that's a lot of what you see there. But
like with like the rice paper walls and stuff like that.
Have your own personal Zen garden.
That would be kind
of
cool.
Maybe some type of samurai type of
thing. Yeah, and then
the
ninjas come in and stab you in the night. Like, that would be pretty
Not
sweet.
Not the stab you in the night part, but I just think that would be a fun hotel to really theme out and use that, again, that old Japan style of design and architecture and look and feel. So
would have really great customer service.
Yes,
at a Japan hotel,
you could wear nice little robes, Japanese robes, and those wooden flip flop things that they have. I don't know what they're called, but
why not just wear your tennis shoes?
Sabo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that would be mine, Japan.
Domo arigato.
Well, listen, guys, thanks for listening in here on the top 8 things we love the most about World Showcase. We'd love to hear from you. What do you love the most about the World Showcase?
What do you think we missed?
Yeah.
We missed a lot.
We did.
I mean,
it's an amazing place.
So many things you could talk about. Yeah.
So give us a like and a follow on all of our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and let us know. Let us know what you think. What do you love the most about the World Showcase?
See ya.
Later.